Turned On with Sue and John is brought to you by Eden Fantasies. Ready for a little undercover fun? With Connection, you are always on a secret spy mission for the most intense orgasm that will not be detected by anyone. This is more than a vibrator. It's your partner in crime for a sneaky escapade or a third accomplice when you're doing the nasty with your partner. Get yours at EdenFantasies.com/turned on or click their banner at TurnedOnPodcast.com.
This is the podcast for passionate, sex-positive, and pervy people. Entertaining and informative discussions about the latest in sex and sexuality. From ethical non-monogamy to kink to dating and romance and everything in between. She is legendary syndicated talk show host and sex therapist Sue McGarvey. He is notoriously naughty international radio host John the Milkman Milky. This is Turned On with Sue and John.
The fastest growing podcast on the planet as it pertains. I need a P word for sex. What's a P word for sex?
Yeah, putting out.
Poontang.
Yeah, poontang. Poontang.
There you go. Hi, Sue McGarvey.
Hi. Talking about P words, prostate. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Every time I do naughty bingo, I've got to be like, okay, how many words can starts with B-I-N-G-O? All right. You know
what?
Intercourse, insert. Yeah. B. Yeah. Blowjob. Bang her.
So the listener is probably not aware of this, but once upon a time, not that long ago, actually, Sue invited me to a dirty bingo. And I thought, this would be so easy. Just come up with dirty words. And I struggled. I was so embarrassed.
I know. Yeah. Nookie. And like, you have to come up with, and you can do the first, you know, five of each. And then you're like, I don't know, gee, gargantuous.
Well, that's it, right?
You're like, 53. Yeah.
The same words come up over and over and over again. It's like, no. I need to come up with something new anyway. Let's get going. It is Turned On with Sue and John. We're online, turnedonpodcast.com, home of the kinky confessional. There's no email address required. There's no phone number required. All you do is input a little something that you just would love the world to know that you're into or that you've done, etc. We'll get to our kinky confessions in just a little bit. Let's start off here, though. I want to get a clit piercing, this person writes to you. Sue, will it lead to infections?
The great question, because I do not have a clit piercing, but I had one. I had one. And every time I talk to my bestie about it, she's like, oh my God, I can't believe you did it. I'm like, but somebody double dared me. And there was this article that said you had better orgasms with a clit piercing, which of course made me want to run out and get one, even though I don't even have my ears pierced and I hate pain. But I got it done. I screamed. The guy in the tattoo shop, jerked. I think there was a line that he wasn't supposed to make on somebody's arm that happened while I was getting it. But it does not increase your chances for infection. While it's healing. And the thing about a clit piercing versus an ear piercing is that urine, it actually heals easier there than it does in other parts of your body, because urine is a sterile, unless you have an infection and then you know when you run to the doctor, but it's sterile. It doesn't have any bacteria on it, and it actually flushes it out, and it actually heals better. Now, there's bacteria there, absolutely, but it doesn't, once it's healed, no. The challenge is it can get caught on things, and I had a partner who was really worried about it getting caught. I'm going to somehow, get my dick attached to this and it's going to rip my foreskin. And he was all tentative. So that's when I took it out. But literally, if it's out for more than 24 hours, it closes back in. So I had to have
that
sort
fast?
Of, I had to put it, that fast.
Wow.
That fast. I know, right? But it was good. It was little and it was, particularly good for masturbation. I didn't reach orgasm climbing stairs like they promised. I didn't, but it was fun for me. I had it in for about 4 years. And then I said I had this partner who got all freaked out about it. And so I took it out and that was the end of it. But, and there are days where I actually miss it, but I wouldn't get another one because it hurt quite a bit going in. Not as much as you think because it goes through the webbing. But yeah, I have been there, done that, got the t-shirt. It has not increased your chances of getting an infection. So thank you, said listener, for sending that interesting question. Even not knowing that I have had it done. So, sue@sexwithsue.com.
Turned On with Sue and John.
Hey, feel free to share us with a friend. We're kinky like that. It's Turned On with Sue and John. I'm John, she's Sue. Up next, 8 post-coital mistakes that people make.
Oh, man. Yes! Things not to do après sex. So, you've just had it on. You've just, you know, busted a nut, had this great orgasm. This is not the time to, A, pick up your phone.
I knew that was coming.
They said at least 15 minutes. Do not a time to nag about housework. Or, you know, this is like, I put it out. Now you have to do this, this, and this. It is not the time to pour criticisms. This is not a critique. You know, you did this, not this. You did. No. Enjoy the afterglow. It's about reading the room more than anything in sex is the après. You know, some people like to cuddle. Some people like to sleep. Some people just like to get up and run. But understand that there is some nuances. And if you want to repeat the experience, you need to understand where your partner's at and come to some kind of middle of the road. I find that for a lot of people, especially women, I've heard this again and again, it's the, especially if you're in our bed, you know, we're going to have to get up and change the sheets. If I don't like stop it, that's why they have like the cum towels or a big box of Kleenex beside you that you block it up. Otherwise, it's running down the inside of your leg. And that's what it's supposed to do. It hits the warmth, you know, vaginally, anally, oral, and that's what happens. So understand that if you that expression, you want to be a freak in the sheets, but, you know, a lady in the living room, if you've just been using your potty mouth and then the energy dissolves, don't continue the dirty talk after, which has been, I don't know if people, but some people apparently do. You can see how it goes. You know, you start smacking her or calling her a bad girl when all she wants you to do is tell her she's a goddess and cuddle her. And then it causes, I tell people, I've had a client who has had a work colleague that he was friendly with and a little bit flirty with, but not over the top. But a couple of drinks on a Friday night sent her what in the cold light of day of Monday morning when she actually read it was an inappropriate email. And at Friday night after a couple of drinks, it seemed okay.
Right.
If she had read it at Friday night, she probably would have been like, all right, he's a bit of a dumbass, but not, you know, but Monday morning it was like, let's call HR. So you got to read the room about that. And this is the same kind of thing. Do not, you know, understand that the energy dissipates pretty quickly. So you want to, you want to keep your connection. You don't want to turn your back on them. You want to wait, at least the rule is 15 minutes. So if you're already looking at your watch going, when can I sprint out of here? There's that scene from Harry Met Sally. Yeah.
That was my question. If I can't look at my phone, how do I know when 15 minutes is up, Sue? You're not helping.
Good point. I know. The other things that people do that you can see being bad, bringing up an ex. Oh, my God.
Oh,
I can't believe
no.
Yes. Yes. Or shutting them down. It's been a while. And now, you know, and don't shut them down or, you know, you finally put out. It's like, oh, my God. I know. It's really, again, it's about reading the room. So don't make those coital mistakes. This is not the time for constructive criticism. You know, you want to sandwich things with, you know, when you're going for a walk, you know, 2 days later going, hey, really loved that romp the other day. You know what I'd really like? Boom, boom, boom,
there
boom.
There you go.
Because you are so awesome and I just love your, you know, I love your parts, right? Whatever. But the right after, it is the kiss of death. You want them to not come back?
It's not the driver's test. There's no pass-fail here, right?
There is no pass-fail. Read the room.
There you go.
Turned On with Sue and John. Online at turnedonpodcast.com.
Hey, coming up at the end of this podcast, you have a really cool interview that you're excited to share with us.
I am. He's an American doctor, urologist, and it's a penis exerciser. And I thought, what's a penis exerciser? Well, one arrived at my door. You use it in the shower or the bathtub, and it's a hydro pump. And unlike the air pumps, which is what we've been talking about, which can leave your penis a little lumpy, the water pumps will increase your girth and exercise those muscles so you can stay hard into your 90s.
Turned On with Sue and John.
I'm sorry, did you just say you double dare me?
I said, ask me my fantasy, babe.
And then you double dared me. This is how you ended up with a clit piercing once upon a time, Sue McGarvey.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. I accept your dare. I'm not going to pierce my dick. I thought about that once upon a time, by the way. But then I realized it made another hole, and I already have enough trouble aiming with the one I already have. So anyway, okay, Sue, I accept your dare then. Okay. Hey, Sue.
Hey, John.
What is your fantasy?
Well, I have many and many, many, but I have one that keeps recurring around in my head after I've seen this, you know, the connection that Eden Fantasy has.
Yes.
It's this wireless panty, right? It has the really good magnets that sit in and that, you know, sort of go all the time, and your partner can control it from, you know, from their phone. So I have this vision of going to one of my events or a event where we bring in some listeners. And everybody has this. And we all do kind of this, you know, we all sort of sit there with a big wide-eyed, trying not to orgasm together or scream. Or I think that would be so fun. I want to do a turned on convention. And one of the opening parties is we've all got these, these magnet panty thing. Oh, that would be so much fun. And they're great for guys. Like they... You know, vibration works really well on the head of the penis. Like, if you've not tried it, don't knock it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's something else. By the way, thank you, Eden Fantasies. I have a very, very flirty woman who's in my inbox constantly listening to the podcast and asking questions, etc. And she was asking about sex toys, and I just pointed her to the website and the Eden Fantasies banner ad. And, there's a lot there that she didn't know existed, including, and she's quite fascinated by that. She loves the idea that it's remote controlled.
Mm-hmm.
So turnedonpodcast.com, click on the banner for Eden Fantasies, and yes, we will get to work on a turned
convention.
On
convention, a convention
where you put things on that get turned on to turn you on with Turned On with Sue and John.
Turned On with Sue and John. Available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and BlastTheRadio.com.
Another listener question, and I cannot wait to hear the answer. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy this as if I'm the podcast audience. I want to squirt like they do in porn movies. How?
And it's a thing, and everybody wants to do it, except it's a learned behavior. I believe that not all women can get there. Anybody who's had surgery and has scar tissue, you know, oftentimes if you've had a very bad cesarean and you know, delivery was lots of scar tissue, or you had a hysterectomy, that sometimes the scar tissue is there that you cannot reach the G-spot. It's either been removed if surgery, but everybody else, and that means like 85% of women, can get there. It requires training your body. And I had a partner who was all in, like all the time. Oh my God, that was a thing. And I couldn't, there was no way you could do it publicly because I would gush. It was like, it was a lot, but it was, you know, I nursed my kids for a long time. And the more you nurse, everybody who's had babies will tell you, the more you nurse, the more milk you make.
Right.
Well, the same thing happens with vaginal secretions. It's one of the same thing. If you are squirting a lot, you start to make more. So I'm assuming the porn stars are doing it day in and day out, drinking lots of liquid and really practicing. It's considered a vaginal sponge. So think of it as when you bang your arm and the cells of your arm swell up. What that swelling is those cells holding fluid. Well, the vaginal sponge is those cells holding fluid. Think of it that way.
Okay.
And when you do that, and the more you stimulate it, the more fluid is produced, to the point where you get to a stage where you can not quite squirt on demand, but you produce a lot and you feel full and you're like, please empty me. I am, you know, remember the ache that I had with breast milk is like, get me the pump, give me the kid, like, let this milk down because it aches. And sometimes that felt like that with vaginal secretions, and it was full. So you get to the point where somebody touches you and you're in one of those car seats that have the air conditioning heating seats and you're gonna, or on an airplane, you think, oh yeah, we'll just play. I'll have a short skirt and, you know, put a blanket over you. Well, if you do that, all of a sudden you're sitting in a puddle for the, you know, for the next 4 hours that you're on the plane, leaving a big wet spot for the next person. So be aware of that. That's the downside of it. But man, if you can do that and you really are, and you need somebody who stimulates you. So if you want to get there without, you know, sort of months of practice, you need a long extended orgasm session. So if you're playing for a while, I remember the first time I talked to somebody who did serious tantra, actually, they wrote a book about it and they're now in the US, but she was talking about how they would go for a weekend and just not let him orgasm, but let her orgasm and just work on the energy exchange and the waves of pleasure. She said, I would get so full that he'd, you know, and that's my whole discussion of puppy pads and why you need puppy pads. She said, I would spray the room. And I think if that's what you're looking for, it's a learned behavior and not to worry. Now I have a book. I have the top 10 tips on G-Spot Orgasm, which is on my Sex with Sue website. And if you go on turnedonpodcast.com and put your name in it, I just sent out an email about, you know, sort of dating tips if you are non-monogamous. I'm going to do a one sheet about how do you squirt like a porn star. So you give us your email, I will give you that. I wrote the best-selling book on G-Spot Orgasms. I'm going to give you the cheat sheets. This is the Cole's notes on how to get there. But you got to give us your email, Turned On with Sue and John.
Right. That's a subscribe link at turnedonpodcast.com. We talked earlier about, you know, messing up the sheets and whatever else. And a lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to mess up the sheets. I want to have a little fun, but oh, not if I have to do laundry. What I hear about squirting is it's mind over matter. And for a woman, it feels a lot like you have to pee. So a lot of women hold that back because that's not fun. That's not sexy. That's not exciting. So they hold that back, not even knowing what it is. So I love your explanation of, you know what, just go and play, put yourself in an environment where making a mess is fine and acceptable and let it happen and let that mind over matter happen. Does that make sense?
And it is. And there is a little bit of urine because it comes out of the urethra. Absolutely. It doesn't smell like urine. It doesn't look like urine. It doesn't taste like urine. It tastes like clover. It smells like clover. It's white. It's clear. It's not urine. But there is a little bit. But if you say, if your partner says, all right, you squirt, I'll do the sheets. And again, dollar store puppy pads, I'm telling you, they are a lifesaver. You can get the sex sheets on Amazon that are, you know, but they're expensive and then they're a pain in the ass to wash because they're rubber. I seriously like spending $3 at the dollar store, cleaning up, gone, no mess, no fuss, no issues, and no more laundry.
Turned On with Sue and John. Online at turnedonpodcast.com.
Fellow parishioners, welcome back to the Kinky Confessional, where you can, well, not confess your sins. We encourage those to some degree. But you can certainly reveal to the world a little something about yourself that you'd love the world to know, but would otherwise be a little too embarrassed to tell people. Head to turnedonpodcast.com. We've got the Kinky Confessional right there. No email address required, no phone number, no identification. Just type away and tell us a little something about you. Kinky Confession number one, Sue. Interracial.
Okay.
That's all it says.
Interracial. That's all it says? Yeah, I'm like, what's the Kinky Confessional? Well, come on. That you know, blondes on black or blacks on blondes was like the thing for ever. It was like the number one, you know, Pornhub. It was such a huge thing. And I think all those suburban white women from, you know, would be looking for the big black BBC, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise known as big black cock, that they wanted to look at. And that was a thing. There was also lots of guys who wanted their wives to do that. It was a thing for a long time. I know that there are a lot of men who have, you know, I know a couple who have things for Persian women or Middle Eastern women with the big almond eyes. Yeah. And then there's the tiny little Asian girls. And
that's a big one.
Big football players. It's a big one. So whatever your thing is, it's just, I had a friend who wanted to eat his way around the world. And so every time I'd run into him, I'd be like, he's like, oh no, I just had an Aussie girl. Like, you know, I'm doing every continent. I'm not going to get I'm not going to get an Antarctic one, Sue, but man, I'm checking off my list. Yeah, he said he had a Czech girl that, you know, blew his mind. So whatever. Everybody's got their thing. Decide what you like. I don't think it means anything, but everybody's got their preference and want to look back at the end of their life and go, yep, I had a smorgasbord buffet rather than, you know, I just ate, you know, cake and cookies for the rest of my life.
To our person who submitted that, we appreciate your word efficiency. Allow me to offer you a little more assistance to become even more efficient. Interracial is one word, not two. I've got your back. Kinky confession number two. I love this podcast. Thank you. There's a guy in my office who turns me into such a hot mess. Oh, this is good. He's just an everyday guy, but there is something about him that I can't even describe. If he only knew how often I end up in the bathroom making myself come thinking of him. Holy fuck. Oh, okay. There. That's the kind of confession we're looking for.
You don't know. Like, there's something about pheromones, right? Which are the scent. And they're saying that you find attractive people that have a different immune system to you. So you'd have really healthy kids. But that excitement often goes both ways. Not always, but often. And it's their genetics and your genetics lining up, and that's chemistry. So if you're feeling that about him, he may be feeling that about you. And it's, you know, and what I say, there's this great book called Make Your Move. And I have it if you go to findlovein2024.com. I'm doing a whole thing about how to help people find dating. But this thing is about how do you women approach men, because the Me Too movement, guys are shut down. Nice guys don't want to make the move. But if you open the door, often guys will walk through that. So I would not tell him that you're in the bathroom drinking off to his face, but say, you know, would you like to have coffee? Or, you know, I have some time this weekend, or I need some help with, or can I compliment you on, and start opening the door and see if you'll walk through it. Cause maybe you are, you know, missing out on amazing hot sex with this really amazing guy.
Or maybe he heard you here on Turned On with Sue and John. It's entirely possible. All right, our third and final kinky confession of the week. Again, your confession is most welcome and encouraged at turnedonpodcast.com. This person says, I went to a peep show. I've never been to one of those. They sound exciting. I went to a peep show and was so turned on, I jerked off against the glass. Wow. And then again, all the way home.
I have been to a peep place where there wasn't somebody in it. You know, they have this this place in Vanier where we live, where I've been there. And honestly, you can smell the semen walking up the stairs. It really was.
Oh, that's sexy.
Yeah, it wasn't that sexy. And there was a movie and there. Yeah, no. But I knew the dom that ran it. She was working there. And she was a particularly sexy woman. And if she had been there playing with herself, I think that she would have stopped traffic if anybody coming in there, and it would have been really fun. And not to think that's bad, because sex work is work, and we all want to support that. And that's how she, you know, she paid her kid for her kids that way. And I think she was an exhibitionist and would have loved to be up against the screen and seeing how excited you were. Because it's hot. That's, you know, everybody wants to love their job, right?
Okay, so maybe not Vanier. and if you're not from here, just trust us when we say maybe not Vanier. Amsterdam, perhaps?
Ooh, that would be fun. But, but anyway, Montreal, Toronto, there are peep shows in every major city. You go to New York, you go to Chicago, I've been to one. I didn't go in it. I didn't go into the part, but I was in Orlando. Like I told you, I had a condo at Secrets, and they have a big dungeon. And then they have this sort of fake wall where they have glory holes, but you can sit in a chair and watch the action. So it's not a peep show per se, but you can sit and watch the action, and people were doing all kinds of fun things. So
Turned On with Sue and John.
We have an all-new newsletter you can subscribe to. The subscribe link is on our website, turnedonpodcast.com. It's Turned On with Sue and John. All right, Sue, vegan condoms apparently are all the rage, and a plant-based diet increases libido by 360%.
And I was trying to figure out what the hell was a vegan condom. Was it made out of, you know, like zucchini skin or whatever? Yeah. It turns out it's not. It is a ethically sourced rubber plant. I know. I was disappointed too, but apparently for vegans, this is a thing, right? That if you are going to try it, these vegan condoms are a plant-based diet. They're sustainably sourced. There is no cruelty to animal testing.
Okay.
But what happens is apparently they are heightened sensitivity. They taste better. They're more comfortable. They stay on, and they're guilt-free pleasure because you are helping the planet. I don't know if that's true, but we're going to get some. And we're going to be sampling it. So again, make sure you get your email on our list, because if I'm going to sample stuff, oh, I was at an event last night and I'm at a dating event and I'm trying to get more men because we have more women coming. And I gave out my Tanga eggs that I got as my advent calendar at Christmas because I had like 25 of them. And I was giving out herbal Viagra samples. I'm not above bribery. So if you want a vegan condom or a Tanga egg or a, you know, sort of a herbal Viagra, you definitely need to put your name on our list. The other thing about it was that if you have a plant-based diet, although some people said that 25% of people thought that it wasn't a masculine thing if you're a guy and don't eat meat. But what happens is it increases your libido significantly, and apparently you taste better. I don't know if I've ever tasted a vegan. I don't know if you've tasted a vegan. If somebody has tasted a vegan, please let us know. But apparently it's like, you know, like having sugar or pineapple just before you have sex. It increases the taste. Well, apparently if you are on a vegan diet, you increase, you taste better. Uh-huh. All right. I know. You think that's hilarious.
Can I please have access to your inbox? I can't wait for those letters. Hi, I tasted a vegan. Oh, my gosh. That's the best thing I've heard in a long time.
Stay tuned for next week because it increases your libido, and I want to know. So if you are living with a vegan, please send us a note, sue@sexwithsue.com.
The best thing I've heard in ages.
Turned On with Sue and John. Available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and BlastTheRadio.com.
Let's talk about the Brazilian sex diet. It apparently involves strawberry ice cream. I mean, you had me at hello.
Yes, and strawberry ice cream. It certainly got my attention. It is the story of a couple from Brazil, Bella and Wagner. And apparently they have come up with this recipe that immediately increases their sexual desire. Now, I don't know if it's now an association. It's a Pavlovian thing, right? Whenever the strawberry ice cream comes out, he gets an erection or whatever. But it's a love potion that they're saying. So here's the recipe. Here's what we want to do. It's this whole picture. So we want to do our ingredients. The formula is the potion of seduction. All you need is a glass of water, one ripe apple, 3 pieces of cinnamon stick, and 7, not 8, not 6, clove, little clove things. You need to boil the water with all the ingredients, and when it evaporates, remove the apples and place them over strawberry ice cream. Said it apparently increases the libido. It makes you super turned on. It is their love potion number 9. So I don't know if we ever have a turned on conference. Guess what we're showing saving for ice cream? But it's these apple, you know, cinnamon spicy apples with 7 cloves. You have to count them and see what happens. So I want everybody to try it. I think I may, I may serve dessert this week. And I have this, I'm going to show it to you. I have this, I got it in my Christmas stocking, this strawberry. You can't see it. And we need to videotape.
I can see
again.
It. I know we need to get back to videotaping.
We're working on it. We need help with that.
I'm not good at shaving. Thing two, I keep resorting to the same Led Zeppelin shirt, so I got to change up the wardrobe. And thing three, I've had a critter in my studio, and the studio is just not very pleasing to the eye. When I get that rectified.
But it's a strawberry ice cream, so I wanted people who to try it. I'm going to post the recipe. You can decide whether or not it works. We'd love your feedback.
May I make a request? If you have anything that works similarly but involves chocolate mint ice cream, please get in touch. Personal request from Sue has brand new research on being bisexual.
I do. Brand new research on being bisexual. It's not actually my research, but the Journal of Science Advances out of the University of Michigan, what they did was they took genetics of people who are self-identified as gay or bisexual, and they always seem to be lumped in. Well, they teased out the genetics, and they were on like 23andMe and got all the genetics, and they did this huge study, and it's a bit controversial because it's talked about, you know, how bisexuality is people who are bisexual and their genetics tend to be, they tend to be risk takers. They tend to have more options, right? What was that Woody Allen quote? You know, bisexuality gives you, you know, you have, you know, that you always have a choice. And it allows for more offspring. People who are bisexual, believe it or not, tend to have more offspring. And the science went on to say, and there was this great article in the New York Times talking about how that bisexuality actually exists because they were trying to understand it. And they said it was misunderstood and ignored and mocked in the gay community and the straight community. And it wasn't, you know, it just wasn't taken seriously. But apparently it leads to increasing the gay population because that gene helps it. I've long believed that there is a genetic, and certainly the information's coming out that, you know, it's, you don't choose to be gay. You are, and it's an orientation, but you can also be R bisexuality. And it looks like this research is proving that you know, it's not something that you're just kind of wishy-washy on. It's actually a thing.
Turned On with Sue and John. Online at turnedonpodcast.com.
Well, Sue, it's about damn time that this came up on the podcast with yours truly, the milkman, John Milky. Let's talk about the milk fetish. It's all about me, isn't it?
It is all always about you, but the milk fetish is the thing. And it was a question from a listener.
And it's not about me at all.
She said, my partner, holy smokes, is definitely a boob man.
Yep.
But turns out his fantasy is about lactation and this lactation fantasy. And he really, 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 really wants to play in this space.
I know a lot of guys who love that. Yep.
Yeah, play in this place, had kids, which means you're more likely to be able to lactate. And so if I was a middle-aged woman and it decided to adopt a baby and wanted to, and I didn't, you know, have this baby and wanted to produce milk, it's way easier if you've already had children. But what they do is they put a bag over your shoulder of baby formula and have a tube running down to your nipple and have the baby suck on the tube and on your nipple, and you will eventually lactate again.
Interesting.
I know. You can also do a massage. I have a booklet about different kinds of massaging you can do to breasts that help stimulate lactation. So if you've got a partner who's all in, it takes a while and you may be, you know, tender by the end of it, but that happens. You can end up on something called Dom Perida, which always sounds like champagne to me.
It's, I was
like
just going to say.
But it is a medication for gastro things. And it helps produce, the side effect is it produces milk. So there are lots of things you can do to help increase your milk production, even if you do not want another baby. Because, you know, we don't want to constantly be pregnant. But there are things you can do that will enhance it, that will keep it up, that you can add these, you know, and you can have your partner suckle you, will absolutely increase. There are stories of, you know, people stranded on desert islands with newborns. And men stranded on desert islands with newborns who the baby sucks on them long enough that the men lactate.
Come on, really?
I'm dead serious. Oh, yep. It is that it would be a long time, but this is a life and death. We have that. We're not so biologically different. The reason men have nipples is women have nipples. We need them, but men have them and it's not so different. So lots of stories about that. There are ways very quickly and surprisingly quickly for you to lactate. So don't freak out. It's very common, as my milkman friend will say, very, very common fetish. Lots of guys think it's sexy. It apparently tastes like cantaloupe juice.
Okay.
You can try it like tasting a vegan. We're going to have a whole and you know, doing your love potion. We're going to have lots of taste testing this week. And here we are giving you your recipes for Turned On with Sue and John.
I swear, Sue, I have been racking my brain trying to come up with some sort of theme for a t-shirt or something we can, you know, offer up as swag on our website. And I think a t-shirt that says, I tasted a vegan, is perfect. That's my favorite thing. That'll be the title of this podcast, by the way. this edition of Turned On with Sue and John online at turnedonpodcast.com.
Turned On with Sue and John.
Hey, I'm joined by Dr. Gittins, who is going to talk to us about a penile exerciser. And I went, as soon as I read it, I went, what? How is this different from sort of the conventional pumps out there? And I know we've been talking about it, although there's not a lot of clinical information about whether or not it enhances girth. There's certainly a lot of anecdotal information. And they've got a new product. Dr. Paul Gittins, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on the show. This is so exciting to be here with you.
Well, I'm interested in, you know, I was saying I got the product yesterday and, you know, sort of the box arrived with this bag. It looks like scuba equipment, except it's not, but you use it in the shower. Can you talk to me about that?
Yeah, it's great. So unlike some of the pneumatic pumps, the hydro pump is really meant to be used in the shower or in the bathtub. And obviously, you know, this is something that most of us, or we should be doing every day, at least once a day, taking a shower or being in the bath, depending on like your, you know, what's going on in the day. And it's a great way to exercise your penis. You know, it's a great way to start thinking about your sexual health. You know, we have all these great thoughts in the shower or in the bathtub. You know, I've thought of some of my, you know, greatest inventions in the shower. And, you know, and so this is a time of kind of sometimes meditation or what have you, but this is a great time to start focusing on your penis and your sexual health.
Cool. All right. So it came out of this discussion about why you need to exercise. And I have long thought there needed to be a penis barbell, but I thought it was more for Kegel exercises, enhancing the PC muscle, sort of helping people sort of hold back. How is this product going to do that? Or is it just about oxygenating the penis, making it bigger? How is that differentiated?
Yeah, so your penis is it's a vascular organ, right? I mean, if you think about how you get an erection, right, you have to have more blood flow going into the penis and less blood flow leaving the penis, mm-hmm. right? And then you got these great muscles which relax and they actually soak up this blood and they increase increase pressure into the penis. And so what we're doing is we're just helping this circulation around. We're helping to oxygenate the tissues of the penis. We're helping to get that blood flow into the penis and allowing for guys to, you know, just focus on prevention, right? And focus on their sexual health.
Okay. So what would be the outcome? You know, you go ahead, do you want to try this? Do you think it's interesting? And I know a lot of guys are, you know, thinking about their penis in the shower. We all know what that means. But it's why would you try this? Why would this be a great fit besides, you know, what's the ultimate outcome?
So we hope the ultimate outcome is going to be a guy that's going to be able to maintain their erections over time. You know, that's what we all want as guys. We want to be in our 70s and 80s and have a hard 10 out of 10 erection. That's what we all want. Yes. And not to say there's no studies to show that. I can't say there's any studies to show that that's the case. But this is just one step in that direction of getting guys to have that, you know, that ultimate sexual function as they get older. I mean, we do have some data, not with this particular pump, but just with pumps in general. When you look at guys that have prostate cancer and they use a pump after their surgery, they have better outcomes. And if they mm-hmm. use their pump with like an oral medication, they're going to have better outcomes as well. But, you know, when they compare the two, so pumps with oral medications or just oral medications, the guys with pumps and oral medications do better. So, I mean, we're extrapolating some of that data. So saying, right. Hey, pumps are, and they're helpful for sexual function and for the erection.
Well, I've been talking about them as a sex therapist because I'm older than you, but I came out of training the year Viagra came out. So we were taught pumps and rings. That's how you were taught to deal with erectile dysfunction. And, you know, and then Viagra hit and then everything went to the side. But I still think they're a great product. And I certainly, you know, throughout my career have suggested them for diabetics and for people with prostate issues, et cetera. But I have not seen it marketed as an exerciser. And again, I'm really quite fascinated. And I have lots of anecdotal stories. I had somebody who did one of those extreme diets you know, where you're on, you know, 500 calories a day and lost a whole lot of muscle mass. And then immediately, and I had, you know, lost erections. And I've had heard that over and over again. So that if you don't maintain muscle mass around your body, and it would make sense that you're having more trouble maintaining erections. So I've not heard it sold as this. And I'm really interested to know, you know, how this came about and what is your, at this point, your anecdotal evidence so far in the process?
Yeah, so I've been using pumps for, you know, I've been in practice since 2009. I've been using pumps as part of my erectile function routine since then. And, you know, when I started bringing that in to my practice, I've just seen such a difference in an erectile function for guys that have ED, for guys that, you know, are thinking about Viagra, but they're not really there yet. And even for guys that are on Viagra and they just want to have, you know, better erections because they want to try to stay away from the injections. So this is something that I've implemented in almost every part of a guy that's worried about their erection, right? That's a guy that comes in and they're concerned about some aspect or some degree if they're mild, moderate, or severe. So in my hands, anecdotally, it's worked fantastic. You know, and I've been really happy with the pumps. I've been really happy with this hydro pump. You know, looking at the hydro pump in general, you know, it's FDA compliant. You know, mm-hmm. I just spoke to some of the inventors of the hydro pump and the exerciser, and you know, the way they designed it is it's safe for one. It distributes the pressure throughout the whole pump, which prevents guys from over pumping and getting like bruising and petechiae, which mm-hmm. are those kind right. of little dots on their penis.
Yep.
So the way it was manufactured and engineered is unlike any pump that's out there.
Okay. So one of the things, you know, I've been looking for cutting edge information for a while. We've certainly hearing about some of the, ways to inject, you know, certainly the injectables around girth enhancement. And they're all using pumps because, again, it helps distribute for them. It helps increase blood flow. So I'm really interested to know that this is, to me, it feels like it's really cutting edge. But it's been around for a while. The technology, certainly the pneumatic pump technology, has been around for a while. And if you have the choice, you know, you're going to go look at some of the traditional medical pumps that they've been using for prostate surgery, not the ones you get at the sex shop. We've been talking about the medical devices versus a hydro pump. Why hydro pump?
And it's just, you know, the difference between the pneumatic pumps and the hydro pumps are that it's really the medium of air, right? And so when air is distributed in a pneumatic pump, it's not distributed equally. And that's the reason why guys get some of the petechiae and the bruising, where with the hydro pump and then the way that the exercises are built, it's distributed equally throughout the whole pump. So it's less likely to have some of those side effects. It's less likely for a guy that's pumping too hard to have an injury, you know. And there's also directions in terms of how we like to pump. You know, it's kind of more like 3 minutes, 3 minutes up, 2 minutes down, for no more than 15 minutes, right? Okay. So if you're following those directions and you're using the pump correctly, then you're not going to have some of those side effects that we would see with some of the other pumps.
Okay, so like the pneumatic pump, it's a pleasurable experience. You get, you know, hard and engorged and you know, that sort of purple, you know, sort of feeling of fullness that they describe with the pneumatic pumps, as well as the, you know, that this is fun. And again, you can't talk about, so I can as a sex therapist anecdotally say, I've heard expressions, you know, you're not going to, you know, gain 4 inches, but I've certainly heard half an inch in girth is not, if you're using it regularly for 6 months, I'm not going to put you on the spot and ask you about that, but any comments about pleasure, any comments about, you know, how this feels when you're using it?
So I can only talk from my patient's point of view, and anecdotally. Obviously, I can't talk on the product because there's no data to show that this is the case. There's no papers to show. There's no right. Clinical studies. But anecdotally, I do have patients all the time with the pump saying that they do have more girth, as well as just they have a little more sensitivity as well in their penis. That's probably because when they're having intercourse, their penis is a little harder and they're just more sensitive for that. But that's all I can really talk about that part. Perfect. Of the
podcast. All right. Well, that's great. So if people are interested in trying this, they're thinking, okay, I'm Sue, you've sold us, you know, Dr. G, we're all set. Where do they go? What do they do? What are the costs? How do they say, you know what? I go to the gym every day. I haven't exercised my penis as much as I can, except push-ups on my partner. Where do I go?
So they're going to go to exerciser.com. And there are a number of pumps that are there. You know, they have different sizes. There's the Exerciser Pro X, there's the Exerciser Pro, there's the Exerciser. So, and then there's different sizes of the pumps. And so what I would just say is just to kind of go through the website and then kind of look through the pump that is going to be, look at the Exerciser that's going to be best for them. There's different sizes. For instance, like the Exerciser is like at $109, and then the Exerciser Plus kind of goes at a higher price point,
which is actually a lot cheaper than the pneumatic pumps. You know, certainly in Canada, I've seen some of the competitors at $500-$700. So that seems really an interesting way to try it as an introduction. So great. So Dr. Paul Gittin has been joining us talking about the Exerciser, which is a pump exerciser for your penis. We may need to try this. Dr. Gittin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, take care.
Thanks for tuning in and getting turned on with Sue and John. New episodes every week. To get in touch, find us online at turnedonpodcast.com. Until next time, stay naughty.